Well, Trish farted.
No, I didn't. Oh, my God. And I sound guilty. Say what happened.
Well, she who denied it supplied it.
I think we just did.
Please, I did not.
No, you didn't.
The door made a noise.
It did. Smellers the propeller.
I hate you. Because anything I say right now makes me... There's no way out of this. I did not. I want to call you so many names right now, and I can't. But just know they're in my head.
Fair enough. I have never heard the door make that sound, though.
It does. Yeah, every time you close it.
Thank you,
Kevin. But that time it closed on its own from a distance.
Yes.
Yes, nobody was coming in or out.
Yeah.
Well, Trish was bent over.
Yeah.
I was not.
And all of a sudden the door just went.
Oh,
no one
God.
Saw it coming.
It said,
no.
It said the word point.
I was not. It had nothing to do with me.
We have some birthdays. Want to shout them out?
Yes. Julie Lally, good friend of all of us.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Julie Lally.
Happy birthday, Julie.
And then my sister, Linda. It's her birthday, but it's also her anniversary. So happy anniversary, Linda and Vinny.
Very nice.
Yeah. And that's it.
Getting married on your birthday seems like kind of a hassle.
Yeah, it just feels like, why would you do that in terms of gifts?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
You're hurting your gift potential.
Right. Bad planning. Yeah.
It's seriously wounding your gift potential.
And it's not all about you on that day, then. You got to share it with him.
Yeah,
like, okay.
That's true.
Do you think, I don't get invited to a lot of weddings anymore. Do you think that they are coming back down to earth after the $250,000 wedding at the Four Seasons kind of
I feel
era?
Like it's split in half. I feel like a lot of people are just like, yeah, let's just do whatever. But then there's some who just, yeah, I think it's 50-50. I haven't been to one in a while either. It just seems like, oh, God, I can't even imagine.
What would you do if you had
trying to plan one now?
Kids my age, would you try to steer them?
Yeah. But, and I would say, listen, why don't you take this money that I was going to spend and put it on a house or something? Or, you know, that's what I know a lot of parents are even doing for school. Like, hey, you can go to this school and spend blah, blah, blah a year, but how about I give you money for a car? Or so I just heard that this weekend somebody said that. Like, I think some parents are trying to get their kids to see that, yeah, while it might be fun to have 250 people at your wedding, you know, overlooking this ocean and blah, 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 but why don't you just do it the easy way?
Yeah.
You have a daughter that's marrying age. What do you think?
I don't think she would want to do the big, you know, princess wedding kind of thing. I think she would rather do the smaller, keep it simple, have a good time with the people that you actually know and care about, as opposed to, because our wedding was kind of a mix, right? It wasn't huge and ridiculous and it was not expensive, but we had a lot of people there because we had big families and we were also really very young at the time. So a lot of children were there. A lot of our friends were there and they were all the same age, but it wasn't like big fancy here. We're going to spend a buttload of money on everything. So it was kind of the mix. It was a fair number of people.
So the wedding's at 7:00 at 5:30. What percentage of your guest list is just trying to work up a case of pneumonia? Like they do not want to go to your wedding.
See, I was very careful about that. I made that a very big thing. I did not invite anybody to my wedding that I didn't think would want to be there. And then the people that you had to invite that you didn't think would want to go, I just made sure to tell them, like, look, you don't have to go. Like, because that was kind of a big thing for me.
Quite
you know
a host.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Well, look, I just.
Here's your invitation, but really, don't worry about it.
Just send money.
Well, yeah, basically. It's like, I mean,
How did you communicate that to them?
I just said, like, don't worry about it. You don't have to come. Like, you can come if you want,
that
but don't
hurtful.
Feel like you have to.
Yeah, because it's almost like you're saying, I don't care if you're there.
They weren't. They
exactly
weren't sad
like that.
They weren't sad about it.
Did they? Okay, so. Those people, if they ended up not going because you said don't worry about it, do you expect a gift because you sent an invitation?
Nope. And I didn't get one, and I didn't care. That's fine. Didn't bother me at all, because the thing is, it's like, look, for one reason or another, I have to invite you. I know this isn't really your scene. I know you probably wouldn't want to be there, so don't feel like, you know, I'd rather just get that out of the way than know that they're dreading, like, oh, Did you go to the wedding?
Did you go to the hammock room at the Ritz-Carlton?
the hammock suite.
The hammock suite, yeah.
The hammock suite at the resort.
You got what's the typical like age group you think when you guys have gone to weddings? Like, I mean, obviously there's always a few kids, and then there's some people that are like grandparents' age and even sometimes a little bit older. Because like our wedding was like super young people. Like my parents were 50. You know, like the parents.
So it was mostly your friends' age?
So it was mostly people that were like under 60. Like that was the vast majority of people at the wedding. I would say like 80 to 90%. And then there were tons of people. We were all just out of college. So tons of college age people and cousins that are all roughly around the same age.
I guess it depends on what age you're getting married. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the ones I was at recently were kind of like, one was kind of like that, but it was a niece who was is that age. She's young. She's probably in her, I think she's 27, something like that. So
my buddy Dan Schnurman got married out of law school in Houston. So we had a bunch of weddings, and me and my pals went down to Houston. It was a big wedding, lots of money, and I was a groomsman, and I was trying to pick out the bridesmaid who I was going to hit on, and I found her, and she was gorgeous, and she liked me, and I was making her laugh, and she was sitting at the table next to me immediately after the wedding wearing a white dress. And I dropped an entire glass of red wine on her chest.
Of course she did. So that was it?
Right. That was it. That was it.
By accident, right?
No, I thought that's...
I got to get her out of this dress. Was she impressed? I'm going to spill some wine on her.
I can't keep that on.
Here, let me get that for you.
There's really just the one option here. Was she impressed?
Impressed with me?
Yeah, when you spilled the...
No.
Was she like...
She was not.
She's probably like idiot.
It's actually kind of sexy if you think about it.
Why'd she have white on?
Got me.
Yeah, see, that's a hurt.
Yeah, that's a weird move at a wedding.
No, you dodged a bad one there, because that's, you know.
Yeah, I've always told myself that.
Were they all wearing them? Like, was it the wedding? Was it the color? Okay, well, then that's a choice by the bride, then.
Yeah. No, she didn't deserve it because she was wearing white. I mean.
I feel like most people just back to the whole beginning of the question, which I don't even remember what it was, but I feel like most people don't care about the ceremony. They just kind of want to go to the party, right?
Yeah.
Open bar and food.
Yeah. So, that's another thing. I've seen more and more of that too. People that around my age or whatever that are doing basically like ceremony as fast as possible with just the family or whatever. Nobody's even really invited to that.
The exception to that is me. I would rather go to the wedding than the reception.
Really?
Yeah, because I might have to dance.
You can always say no.
There are a lot
sometimes
less.
Sometimes I'm compelled to.
Are you a good dancer?
I bet. Yeah, I was going to say, you've seen his moves when we play games in the studio.
I know. That's why I'm asking him to be objective.
There is a period.
He swings his hips, yeah. Right?
There was a period in my 20s when you had to dance.
Yeah.
And I was a little too good at it.
Yeah, when you're young, you don't have much choice because you got
to
fit in.
I'm asking you to be objective. If people saw you dancing at a wedding, would they be like, "Yeah, that guy's got moves"?
I can't speak for now, but in my 20s, I was trying.
Would they fall to their knees and weep at the beauty?
Look at that guy; he's got the moves.
We didn't know this was possible.
How about you, Sugar Ray?
I don't think I'm a good dancer. No.
Are you like an Elaine dancer?
She really had to think about that.
No, not that bad. I can get with the groove, but I'm not like, you know, Janet Jackson on the dance floor or anything. I can do a slow dance. I mean, how hard is that?
But
some people can't do that.
Really?
Two left feet, step on people's toes.
I don't like all the ones where everybody knows the moves, like it's coordinated.
Like the
like that.
You know what I'm trying to say. Electric slide.
Yeah, that.
Do you do line dancing?
What? No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that's...
Line dancing's fun.
No, it's not.
My wife went to a line dance.
If you could line dance to metal, that might be.
Oh,
maybe.
My God.
No, line dancing.
Do you think the electric slide is a line dance?
Yes.
I know it's not country, but is it
technically?
Yeah, I would
probably. Yeah. Because it's like, it's anything where the choreography is known and then like shouted out in the middle of the song.
I mean, if the whole song is literally telling you what step to take next, that's kind of lame.
Okay.
That's not lame at all. It's fun.
Hmm.
Did you ever watch the line dancing show?
I heard you guys talking about this the other day. I think I maybe turned it
wild
on a
country,
time or two.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah, Wild Country.
And I heard you say you hosted it, right? You hosted something.
I hosted
Hara's Lucky Break.
I hosted something too, and I can't remember the name of it. But it was at
I thought that was also Hara's Lucky Break, because I remember when you hosted
it wasn't.
Something.
And I was at the Point at that time, and we were always at that bar that was in the Drury Inn in Collinsville, I think. And I thought the bar was called Excalibur. I could be mistaken.
Now that's very close to where Wild Country is now.
Okay,
so maybe that
you
was
don't
something
remember a television
country.
Show you hosted.
No, I cannot remember what it was. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, number one rated for it's just like it was pretty much what you're
no Emmys.
They showed videos and we would talk in between the videos, but we were in this club and I thought it was called Excalibur, but I can't remember.
Even I remember that show that you did.
Do you know what it was called?
No.
Oh, well,
no. I mean, it feels like it was like Friday Night Videos or something like that.
It was something like that, but it wasn't Friday Night Videos.
Mine was pretty highly rated.
I'm sure it was. Surprise is still not on. Try to
resurrect. Do you know why we lost it? Because my buddy Rick Bayless, who is my boss, found out because we weren't being paid and then found out that we had to buy our own drinks. And he went crazy.
On behalf of you guys.
On behalf of us.
That's great.
And then we lost our gig.
But you lost your TV gig.
Yeah.
I don't think we were paid either. It was just like, oh, you get to be on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh,
mm-hmm.
Great. So we
like
did you're it.
Like they're doing you a favor.
Mm-hmm.
Here, show up and work.
Right.
It's promotion. That's what they always said. Like, you know, you're getting the radio station out there.
The industry was so different back then.
Yeah, it was.
Like you just don't really see things like that.
But
like
even then, people were lamenting the fact that it wasn't the same. You know, even when I started.
I think the heyday would probably have been like 70s and 80s.
Probably.
Dave, I remember you saying that like when you joined, you'd kind of join in the shadow of like Steven DC. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, what you saw them have was very different than what you had. And you were like, oh, man.
So
I started at the beginning of the end.
Mm-hmm. That's I feel like I did too. But even when I did, like I went to the Olympics, Coca-Cola sent like a radio station from each city to the Olympics. I went to the one in Australia. I went to,
City.
I don't know.
I did too.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh,
there
we were at the same time.
Good night, Mike.
I went to more than five American Idol finales. I went to the Grammys twice. Like they would still send you places at that time. This was like late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And now we're lucky if we can walk down the street.
Yeah, the biggest town.
Now we don't get sent to McDonald's.
The Anchorman movies are set in the 70s, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was probably the heyday for like local TV and local radio.
Yeah.
Like you were rock stars. Because I remember all of the people that were in where I grew up, they were all huge stars. Like you could see. They would all be on TV and on the radio, and everybody knew who they were. And the commercials for their like the afternoon show on the rock station were on primetime TV.
Yeah.
Like, it was a big deal.
Do you think it's a change in technology, or do you think it's that everyone is a performer now?
That one. Everyone's a performer. Everyone's a radio person. Everyone has a podcast. Everyone can be on TV.
And there's a lot more... You know, if you had a demand to like be entertained and hear people, you would basically have to turn on the radio or turn on the TV.
Right.
And now with YouTube giving you, you know, the start of 24/7 on demand, whatever you want to watch, whenever you feel like watching it, entertainment, there's a lot less of that. I want to be entertained and I just have these two avenues to go to.
This is a big question and we've asked questions like this before, but do you think it's hurting our psyche? That we're all performers? Do you think that's unnatural in some way that's going to lead somewhere?
I don't think so, but I think most people were that anyway. It just wasn't on YouTube or TikTok. It was just in day-to-day life.
Except everybody expects an audience now and to be celebrated for, you know what I'm saying, for what they do and the clicks. But one thing I wanted to bring up with something that you had just said, because even Jimmy Kimmel said not that long ago, like in 10 years, talk shows won't be here because there's really no need for them. And I was thinking about... when I was doing KZK earlier, I was talking about Justin Timberlake and the, you know, he pled to a lesser charge on Friday. But anyway, he's going to be on the Tonight Show tonight, which would have been like a Hugh Grant
a
moment,
thing.
Right?
Yeah.
The Hugh Grant, what was her name?
Renee?
No, the Hugh Grant.
I don't know.
Brown. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Anyway, that would have been a huge moment, but it's like, all right, we already saw him on YouTube. We already saw him outside the courthouse. It's not a gotcha for Jimmy Fallon tonight to have Justin Timberlake on.
talking about back in the old days when you would record songs off of the radio. This is the last one I remember recording.
Oh, really?
Of Kesha. Yeah.
I remember the last one I did, too. It was I Love Rock and Roll and Joan Jett. I was trying to get that song without the DJ talking, and it was like almost impossible.
No, they always, you always talk through the like first 5 or 10 seconds. You just have to wait for the countdowns, right? You get like the the daily top 10 or whatever. You knew you were going to get the pop, the best songs.
Do you remember? And I when I was packing up one of my houses when I moved this last time, I used to cut out. They used to put in the paper the top 10 songs. Like in the pop charts or what, I used to cut those out and save them for whatever reason. And I found
That's
a big
cute.
Pile of them. Oh.
Kind of dorky.
Yeah, a little dorky. I don't know why I did.
So what are you embarrassed to buy at the store?
Well, I kind of related to Andrew. Remember that whole story? It was when I was on the show and he said he would act like he was drunk when he walked into the
Casey's
because he was buying odd things. But I found myself, I like to buy Uncrustables because number one, they're good. Mm-hmm. And number two, I have braces, so they're easy to eat. But every time they're in my cart, like no one's ever going to ask me or think oddly of me that I have them in the cart. But I'm like so prepared with the, oh, they're for the kids that I don't have. That's why I'm buying Uncrustables. I don't know why it embarrasses me.
Would
so
you really
much.
Lie?
I would just be like, oh, they're for my niece or nephew or yeah, maybe I'd say kids when I don't. I don't know. It's just embarrassing to buy Uncrustables because they're
for kids. I pass these around
kids.
To the neighborhood children.
Don't you think that's weird that I buy them or no?
No.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
It's food. You like it, you buy it.
I know.
We all buy kids stuff.
Like, if you were buying like baby food because you liked the,
yeah, that's probably a little whatever.
Adults do that.
Yeah, that would that might be. I might lie about that one, but no, Uncrustables are
just
fine.
A little embarrassing.
People around here will eat those like for lunch or whatever.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know.
We're
that.
Lousy with Uncrustables around this place.
They're thrown around in the newsroom. They're all eating Uncrustables. Is there anything you're embarrassed by? No, you pretty much buy everything.
No, once I got past like buying tampons and stuff, that's the ultimate test for a man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you were never bothered by that, kid.
No.
You know what? Weirdly enough, though, as much as I'd like to make fun of him for that, I was able to get past that pretty quickly, too, because I was like, these are obviously not for me.
Right. And everyone has to buy them.
No one's worrying that.
I mean, you know, I'm not making sense.
You're too embarrassed.
Yeah.
Once I bought those, and I bought a 4-foot-tall Tinkerbell doll for Phoebe.
Yeah.
And those are the only two things
like,
I bought.
No shame anymore.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
That's
I
all,
didn't
that
realize
like a fun
until
thing.
I was checking out, and the lady was checking me out, and I'm like, oh, crap.
These things are a little less of an issue now if you're using the self-checkout.
Mm.
Right.
Except Dave doesn't like to use the self-checkout.
No, because then they'd be like, price check on tampons and giant dolls.
And giant Tinkerbells.
How much is Tinkerbell? Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Bernie Miklas is with us Mondays and Fridays at 2:30 p.m. He joins us now. Bern, how was your weekend?
I bet it was good.
The old cold shoulder. I heard he's a prankster.
We have connection issue, so you can hear him?
I heard him for a second.
Oh. Crazy. Mm. Isn't it funny how that works? Like, we have the ability to do the most insane things technology-wise, and then all of a sudden when it doesn't, you're just like, welp.
Yeah. Well, we have nothing.
Welp. I'll tell you what... You know, I'm sure what he did, I'm not going to assume, but he and I being sports guys, you probably sat around and watched a lot of college football and NFL and watched the Cardinals, which was not great. I mean, we've known for a little bit now that it wasn't going to be what everybody hoped it would be. It wasn't going to be a playoff run. But, you know, dropping three in Toronto, and now I think we kind of know.
I think we have him.
Sounds like we got it.
What's that?
Bernie, can you hear us?
He's not hearing us. That's the problem. I think we could probably hear him if he knew that we were talking. So there's clearly a connection issue.
All right, I'm going to troubleshoot this.
All right.
So was this weekend the kind of death knell?
Mathematically, probably. I mean, getting swept is not something that you can really afford when you're as far back as you've been. And they got swept in Toronto for those that weren't paying as close attention as you were before. But 7 games out with 12 games left is... it's not impossible. You're not mathematically eliminated, but practically speaking, you're eliminated. So you look at, is it 12 games left? No, there's 13 games left. 13 games left to make up seven. If the Mets lost every game the rest of the way, you'd still have to go 7-6 to pass them. And that's if they lost every game. So if they play 500, you're done. You have no hope of catching them. So that part's done, which is, by the way, why on the videos we've been doing to kind of preview series and all that, I decided it's time to just shift the focus. I don't want to get into the pitching matchups anymore. I don't want to get into games behind and who's hot and who's not and any of that, because it doesn't matter. What matters now is what are we seeing that could be relevant for next year, right? So, like, focus would be to me on what's Jordan Walker's last 2 weeks look like. Is he able to hit the fastball better than he's been? Because he's not hitting the fastball. You're not going to hit in the major leagues if you're not hitting fastballs. You're just not going to. The quality of breaking pitches is too good, and velocity is what it is. You have to be able to hit fastballs first and then lay off the other stuff, right? Well, if you're doing the two things, which is what he's having struggles with, it's been a little better. There have been some signs. He's got, three home runs in the last week, had the big game against the Yankees in New York. So there have been a few bits and pieces here, but he's got to show this on the regular basis. And, you know, we're looking at Thomas Ajayi for the first time. What is he showing us? Can he show continued defensive versatility? Can he be a guy that you trust to put into different spots when it's called for? Can he hit a fastball at the major league level, right? And then also the young catchers, what do you got? Like, what do they look like now with a little bit more extended playing time? Can Herrera actually throw people out or can he not? Because that's probably going to end up being that and some of the other subtle things what will make Pajes the backup catcher next year as opposed to Herrera. But we're learning things about, like, decisions that you can make and all of that. And then you also have to assess, like, what do you do with people that are supposed to be back on contracts but aren't performing well? Like, what do you do with Miles Michaelis? Do you just say we're going to run it back because we owe him $18 million? I mean, you know, you're talking about if and people don't have to trust me on this. They can go look it up. But over the last two full seasons of qualified starters, he's, I think, bottom three or four in earned run average.
So not only are you paying him almost $20 million a year, he's hurting your team.
Well, that becomes the question, right? At what point do you decide that the damage being done is, or at what point do you decide that it's not worth getting the chance? Do you want to pay $18 million for someone to make your team worse, or would you rather pay them to not make your team worse and put somebody else in there? And then the question becomes, well, who would that be? But I think those are the interesting questions for the offseason. It's the same thing with Steven Matz. How much do you count on Steven Matz? He's been hurt every year, and when he's pitched, he's been okay at times, but a lot of times he's not been okay. Because you owe him money next year doesn't mean you have to bring him back.
Did we need to give Michaelis $18 million to get him?
Yes, based on the timing of the market, right? He was coming off a couple of good years. The problem that I had with the Michaelis extension and others, you know, I'm not sure exactly what if Bernie shared my thought on it or not, but my complaint about it was that they did it too early. They did it a full season before they needed to, right? So they did it.
Same with Marmol?
Kind of the same idea, right? So, you know, Michaelis was heading into his last year under contract, and they gave him the extension before that year started. If they had waited until after that year, he probably wouldn't have been $18.5 million on the extension because he didn't have that good of a year. And, yeah, he probably would get something like that. Veteran starters that pitch innings are going to make that kind of range anyway.
So just my contract is up March of 26.
Right.
If next year they said, we're just going to go ahead and give you another year on your contract, I'm still going to do the work. I'm not working as hard. I think it's human nature.
I don't think it can be, but I don't think it's human nature for people that compete at this kind of level their whole lives. And I'm talking about athletes that, like, it's pride and not just money, right? Like, they don't want to suck. Michaelis doesn't want to go out there and have a 5.9 ERA. They don't want to be the worst. These are guys that most of their lives were the best guy on every team that they were on until they got to that level. So I think it's a little different than people like us that have normal jobs where it's not on television. Because I think for me, I don't know that I would have a day where I was a little slower if I knew I was going to be on TV and people were going to see it.
I get that. I think we competed at a pretty high level here, too.
For sure.
But
a lot of what we do is not in public view.
But if you just give me an extra year on my contract without me even asking, I don't think that motivates me as much as if I know I have 1 year left. Anyway, I think we have Bernie now. Hello, Bern.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are we doing today?
Good. Just kind of discussing whether we are making the final pivot into the end of the year and just really enjoying the games to enjoy them and just trying to see who's playing well, who's not. Let me ask, I was about to ask Wheeler this question, and it's kind of a tough question. Of all the guys that we have, and we have a bunch who could be really good, and we keep bringing them up and setting them back down, who do you think has the best chance of not being good long term?
That's a tough one. It's a tough one to answer. Listen, there's a group of players that all should be back, and they should all try to either revive them or just make them better. I mean, that list. Well, first of all, Mason Wynn is part of any list as far as the future. It's way too soon to give up on Nolan Gorman. It's obviously way too soon to give up on Jordan Walker. I think it's too soon to give up on Lars Nootbaar, Alec Burleson, Brendan Donovan. I mean, they do have a nucleus. Victor Scott is another guy that should have a prominent role next season. Mike Siani as a defensive specialist, fourth outfielder type. So if we're talking hitters, that would be my rundown. They have to build around this young nucleus and see where it goes. You know, there's going to be some pain up ahead. It's not going to be easy. As far as the pitching staff, they're going to have to clear some dead wood out of the rotation, and then that would leave some room for, say, Quinn Matthews, a really good prospect, Tink Hentz, a really good prospect, but also someone who's injured a lot. It would also leave room maybe for a Michael McGreevy. So I'm all into let's go with young guys. Let's give him a chance because we already know what the veterans can do, and frankly, hadn't been good enough.
You know, it's been interesting, Bern, because I think that that's something that a lot of us have talked about for years. This would not be the traditional tear down and tank, but more of the soft reset where you're like, listen, we've got to see these people for a full year and no interruptions. Because I think one of the problems that's gotten them into this loop is that with the idea that every move has to be made because we got to make the playoffs this year. And you look at like Milwaukee, they have Jackson Chourio, who is terrible in the first 2 months of the year. Absolutely terrible. But they stuck with him and they kept playing him and they kept working. And now he's playing at an all-star level where when the Cardinals get off to a bad start, well, we got to send these guys down. We got to send Jordan Walker out. We don't let them have that time to develop because we're supposed to make the playoffs this year.
Right. I think that's a really good point. And Thomas Ajayi belongs on that list, too.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a really good point. And listen, it's not my job to hire or fire anyone, but I'm also not going to withhold what I really think. They have to make sure, too, if they're going to build around young players as the nucleus, they need to ensure they have the right coaching staff in place up here. I mean, this crew has been totally unable to fix hitters. They have to go down to get fixed. It's just a really baffling thing. They have a really bad plate approach with runners in scoring position, taking too many called strikes, swinging at too many pitches out of the zone. I mean, that's got to change. You have to give them maybe a better support staff, in my opinion. That's a pretty obvious thing.
And we talking wholesale burn, like the coaches are gone, bring in all new coaches, change
they're
the
gonna,
top?
They clearly need to do something with their hitting coach position. I mean, that's just two years in a row. The offense has got worse and worse and worse. And we've seen one young player after another flop and fail and not get back on track at the major league level. We see other teams fixing their young hitters at their major league level all the time.
Yeah, and again, it's interesting to me, too, like how you balance these two things, because I would agree with you completely. And also, by the way, this goes beyond the major league staff, although it starts there because that's where the big product is. That's where these players are. But, like, there's no catching instructor in the organization right now.
No. There's also no roving outfielder instructor
right,
either.
Right. I mean, and like, there are people that were not brought back at the end of COVID that these jobs need to be filled, and they need more. The trend now for the big teams is more coaches, more instructors, more people at the developmental levels, and they haven't gone there.
The Cardinals don't have, there's no way for me to do an accounting of every major league organization, but I think the Cardinals are one of the few. They don't have a pitching lab or a hitting lab for their young prospects. In this day and age of 2024, I mean, that's frankly, that's pretty ridiculous. So,
but fixable.
They've got to get up to date. They've got to give their young players more resources. That's really a priority in my view.
Byrne, a couple minutes left here. Let's take the opportunity to talk some football. You can go college, go pro, wherever you want to go.
Well, I thought that was a really good win by Mizzou. I've had some Mizzou fans fuss at me because I said on my YouTube video, hey, it was a really good win because they were in trouble early and they showed how they could respond and they could go one way or the other and they responded very, very well. Some fans are fussing at me. Oh, they should have dominated BC. It's like it ain't easy to win these games. And BC's pretty good team. What impressed me, and actually for them to dominate Boston College from start to finish, hear me out on this because it might sound a little weird. I actually think dominating them would have been bad for them. I think Mizzou needed a game where they had they were in some trouble and they had to show how they would respond to trouble. And the fact that they responded so well to trouble will make them better prepared for the next time they are in trouble against another team. So I thought it was a really good win in that context. And I thought the running game was fantastic. And I think Brady Cook needs a little more work. Got to sharpen up on some of the deeper throws. Offensive line was real good. Yeah. Defense was real good. After that initial sting, they were pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Byrne, is, and I think they brought it up on the broadcast, too, that like it's an important thing to not just to understand it, because all these guys have confidence, but to do it, to experience, okay, we're down, now we have to do this, because Vandy will not be that easy this weekend. Vandy's interesting, and that new quarterback is pretty talented. And Texas A&M is talented, and Auburn and Alabama and Oklahoma. I mean, there aren't many. I even watched South Carolina this weekend, and while their record's not great and they're not, a highly ranked team, they got some talent, man. They've got some
they're
really
definitely improved.
Players. Yeah.
They're definitely improved. There's no doubt about it. I thought the Kansas City Chiefs did well to survive another close one. If they're going to have Isaiah Pacheco out for a long period of time, though, their running back, I mean, that's going to be a pretty big problem. And they have a problem at left tackle. They're going to have to firm that area up. But, boy, it's a great team with a championship pedigree when they don't play particularly well or they have some big problems against a good opponent and they still find a way to win. I mean, they've done that 2 weeks in a row, and I think that's to their credit. But the Chiefs definitely need to get better in some areas.
I shouldn't be asking this question because we don't have time to answer it, but I just keep seeing on my TikTok, Deion Sanders at Colorado. Is he just being a fool? Is he just being Deion, or am I just reading into it?
Here's where I am. I really don't pay attention to it because there's so many great college football stories and there's so many big games going on. And like this week is ridiculous. The number of really good games that are going to be played Saturday. I think the Deion Sanders thing was a lot of fun and a big deal for a while, but now it's just a lot of noise. I mean, there's nothing there that'll tell us that he's building a program that's going to be powerful and it's going to be lasting. And he's always going to look for a way to kind of just command the headlines by, making a lot of noise and accusing other people of disrespect or banning reporters and all that stuff. I mean, just win games, man. Nobody cares about all this other stuff. The novelty part is over.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think what's really questionable is whether or not he's even going to stay, right? His son's going to the NFL after this year. Could be a first round pick. Travis Hunter is one of the top five players going into the draft next year, but they still haven't beaten a good team yet in his 2 years there.
Right. And, coaches just leave all of a sudden. So, there's some turmoil there. That's a tough job to be a head coach. It takes more than being able to be a personality and you can kind of charm people. After a while, it gets down to substance. Do you have a good coaching staff? Do you keep your coaches? Do you coach your coaches? Because that's what good head coaches do. They coach their own coaches so they can be better off in terms of helping players. There's a lot of kind of institutional issues there.
Cool, man. We'll talk to you later in the week. Thanks, Bernie.
All right, my brothers. Thank you.
Shout out to great customer service. My left blinker went out today.
Mm-hmm.
Stopped at AutoZone because they'll put it in for you. Not so much.
Really?
Said no. Two like guys there, it's 9 in the morning, no one else was there, not a soul. Guy's like, sorry, man, don't have time to do it. Said, my guy's in the bathroom. And I could wait till he's out of the bathroom, but he's like, see that building across the street? That's an auto body shop or whatever, I think it's called Claude's. He's like, try them. I know. If I'm the guy that owns AutoZone, or if I'm the manager, I'm not too happy with that guy. And so I went across the street, and they had a bunch of cars parked, like, waiting to go in and have things done. And I guess Claude, he's like, yeah, pull it on in. Took him 5 minutes, cost me $5, gave him a 20, told him to keep it, and he acted like I gave him $100.
Good for Claude.
Yeah. Plus to Claude.
Man, you know, you advertise that you do those things, probably want to do them.
Yeah, he said I should come back tomorrow afternoon.
It's like, hey, pulling into McDonald's. Hey, you got any burgers? Nope, we don't have any. But you keep sending commercials that you have burgers.
Yeah, even if he said you'll have to wait 30 minutes, maybe customers will come in here.